Well, good morning, church. We are getting better. Better. Good job. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Well, again, I want to say good morning to our church family here, and I hope and pray you're all doing well and your families are all good and staying healthy. I know that there's a terrible sickness on the go. A lot of people are struggling with that right now, so remember to keep them in your prayers. We here at the First Baptist Church, Pinoca, want to say welcome, especially if we have some visitors here. Welcome to our church. We are glad that you are here with us. Who here is all done their Christmas shopping? Put your hand up. Oh, my word. The majority is women. I wonder why. You know, men, if you're all done your Christmas shopping, put your hand up. Oh, we got a three. Listen, don't be laughing. And the majority of the laughter right there was ladies. And I know why they were laughing, because the shopping's going to happen when? Christmas Eve, maybe, right? Typical man. You know, we get the nice boxes. They're kind of looked through and ripped apart and what have you. But, man, we get great deals on them. Well, I hope you have been enjoying our Advent sermon series, and I hope you enjoyed our last few on hope and peace, and now we are on joy. During the Christmas season, we should be filled with joy, truly filled with joy, that our Savior has come and has taken on the flesh of a man, so that in turn he could give that flesh as a ransom for our sins. This spotless Lamb of God, the author and the finisher of our faith, the one and the only Son of God who offers true joy, has come to a lowly, broken people such as us. Let's unite our hearts in prayer this morning. Father, thank you, Lord, for today and the time that we could have together. Thank you as we dig into your word, Lord, that you are going to speak to us. Lord, thank you for everybody involved in the service here today, Lord. Bless them and encourage them and be with them. Prepare our hearts, Lord, as we hear your words. We love you, Lord, and we give this service to you in Christ's name. The title of today's sermon is Christmas is a Time of Joy. Webster's dictionary says this about joy: the emotion evoked by well-being, success, or a good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires, delight, a state of happiness or felicity, bliss, a source or a cause of delight. The question to you today is this: where can we find joy? Where can we find joy as believers? Some might answer, and you know, maybe you're not walking 100% with the Lord. Maybe there's some that don't know the Lord here today, and this might be their honest answer with this. Some might say, maybe I find joy in possessions, truthfully. Maybe some might say that they find joy in their career. Maybe some find joy in their family, you know, not outside of church, of the things of the Lord or what have you. You know, maybe they find their joy in them things. Well, the Bible makes it clear in Habakkuk 3:18. It says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. I love that verse. Joy in God, joy in my salvation. I know for me, I find joy in that. I do daily. I get up and I say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I know the man I once was. I'm no longer that man. Hallelujah. True joy is only found in Jesus, our Lord. Our scripture reading today, again, was read. It was in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. I want to reread it, because again, I might repeat myself, but I want to. And the reason why is because I want to set that scripture deep in your heart and in your soul. Let's read it here together. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. I pray that you find great joy in the good news of Jesus coming to this earth. I pray that you find great joy in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, the only man to be born of a virgin, to walk this earth and in turn die for our sins. I hope you find joy in the Messiah. Sadly, many people find this season stressful. They find it depressing even. And I've heard this time and time again. People find this season very stressful and depressing. Have you ever experienced a Christmas season where you were just not feeling it? You don't have to put your hand up or say that you did or have or experienced it even right now. Where you were stressed out and so busy you couldn't enjoy it. For some, Christmas is just a lot of work. You know, some find that they're even annoyed with family and friends and people and crowds and malls and stores and all that's going on. Have you ever experienced a Christmas where you just had very little joy? And you know, I'm sure if we were all completely honest here today, we may have had one or two of them Christmases in our life, and maybe some even today. Well, I found this quote from Preaching Today, Bring Your Message to Life, and it says this. One time there was a lady doing her last-minute Christmas shopping at a crowded mall. She was tired of fighting the crowds. She was tired of standing in lines. She was tired of fighting her way down aisles looking for gifts that had already sold out days before. Her arms were full of bulky packages. When the elevator door opened, it was full. The occupants of the elevator grudgingly tightened ranks to allow a small little space for her and her big load of gifts. As the door closed, she blurted out, "Whoever is responsible for this whole Christmas thing ought to be arrested, strung up, and shot." A few others nodded their heads and grunted in agreement. Then, from somewhere in the back of the elevator came a single voice that said, "Don't worry, they already crucified him." We as Christians need to remember who is responsible for this whole Christmas thing. It is all about God, who loved the world so much that he gave a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. So let's take a minute and look at the messengers and the message in Luke 2, 9 to 10. "And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be to all people.'" Did you ever question why the angels appeared and why the angels said what they said? John Gill, one of the commentary writers that I like to read, he said this. Wants us to consider Hebrews 1:14 when he calls angels ministering spirits. When it says this, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation?" You see, the angels were offering comfort to the shepherds by saying, "Fear not." Comforting them, "Fear not. Do not be afraid." They were offering a new message when they said, "For behold, I'm bringing you this new message, for behold." And then they were offering good tidings by saying, "I bring you good news. I bring you good news." They were offering not good joy, but anyone? Great joy, right? Great joy that was about to be spread across the world because they said these words too, "which will be to all people." The news was to be shared everywhere, everywhere. And are we as Christians, truthfully, let's be honest with ourselves today, are we sharing the good news, the great joy? Are we sharing it? When was the last time you shared the gospel of Jesus Christ or even gave your testimony to someone about the Lord? When was the last time? You know, Ray Comfort is an evangelist. And he goes out on the streets, he goes into university campuses, and he asks them a series of questions just to get the thought-provoking questions, to get them going, to get them thinking. And this is a quote from him. He said this: "Emergency vehicles demand access because human lives are at stake. Evangelism demands the same priority for the same reason. Human eternities are at stake." So when you think of that for you and I, the gospel message is to be shared and preached because it is a message of emergency. It is. It's a message of emergency. 1 Corinthians 9:16 says this: "For if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting, for necessity is laid upon me." This is what Paul is saying. It's laid upon me. "Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." Woe to me. Luke 2:10, "Behold, I bring you good news. The angels didn't come to tell the shepherds that the Lord was about to judge them for something, but as John Gill said, but his merciful, loving kindness, the subject being a matter of great joy." Great joy. He then declares this message to you, the Jews first, and then to the rest of the human race. I praise God for that announcement. You are the product of that announcement. Think about it. We are sitting here. This church is established. And we're here because of this announcement. Because this is our Messiah, our King, our Lord. Many have the wrong thought pattern concerning joy. Personally speaking, I have heard some people say that joy is not my personality or the way God made me. I have heard that. Some have went as far as to say, a joyful person is born that way. Who here has ever heard that? Others have said that joy is a matter of circumstances or environment. And I have heard that as well. Well, I want to challenge that thought here this morning with just a biblical story. And I want to get into it here. The Bible tells us about two persecuted missionaries by the name of Paul and Silas. We get into the book of Acts chapter 16, and we pick it up in verse 20, and it starts off by saying this: "And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, 'These men are Jews, and they are disturbing our city.'" They're disturbing our city, turning our city upside down. Then it goes on in verse 21. "They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice. The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods." Verse 23, "And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks." So Paul and Silas, they whined and complained all night long and said, "Woe is me, woe is me. This is not fair. This is terrible. They ripped off our clothes. They beat us with rods. This is just a terrible thing. Boo hoo." It's not what my Bible says. None of that. It says this in Acts 16:25, "About midnight, Paul and Silas were singing." And listen to this. "And singing hymns to God." They were praying, singing, rejoicing. And the prisoners were listening to them. Christians, look at me for a moment. Just look at me. Because this is important for you to know this. Joy is not found in circumstances. If you're looking for a circumstance to find your joy, you will be joyless. Joyless. Joy is found in Jesus. Some of the happiest people I have met, happiest people. I used to be a chaplain for the hospital for years. I've seen some of the most terrible scenes you could ever imagine in an emergency. As they called me in one after another, we had a pager on us. It would ring in the middle of the night and we had to go. And I walked into scenes that truly were traumatizing. Some of them were people even dying of stage 4 cancer, like literally on their last leg, week left in their life. But I will tell you something. Some of these people that knew Jesus, I never seen such joy. Smiling. They would even ask to sing hymns with them. Pastor, read scripture with me. And they had like a week left. And I'm reading it with them. And there's times that I came out of them rooms crying because I seen the joy and contentment they had in Jesus. And they knew where they were going. They knew without a doubt that they were going to see their Lord and Savior. You see, don't look for joy in circumstances. Don't be that Christian. Does anyone here know what a circumstantial Christian is? That's a question. You see, some call it circumstantial faith. Well, a circumstantial Christian is someone whose trust in God rises and falls, strengthens and weakens, based on their circumstances. These are people that at the moment something bad happens, they walk away from the church, they walk away from their Bible reading, they walk away from the faith due to something bad happening in their lives. They cash in, cash out, done. You see, instead of being faith-based, a circumstantial Christian is someone who is feelings-based, ease of life-based, and want positive results now based. You see, they do not hold firm to the promises of God in their hardest days, in their darkest days. They waver, they wane. Malachi 3:6 says this, and this is where I rest my faith, truthfully. I go to these scriptures because they help me. And in Malachi 3:6 it says this, for I, the Lord, do not change. I don't change. You change, but I don't. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. God doesn't change. We do. We're the ones that go up and down and all around. And Hebrews 13:8 says this, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Who said that? No, man. You can all say that. You know it's okay in here. Go ahead. Ministry, amen, I like it. Ministry123.com, I found this, and I want to read it to you here today. The joy of the Lord is better than the pleasures of sin. A Russian countess accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior and was open about her faith in Jesus. The Tsar was displeased and threw her into prison. After 24 hours in prison with the lowest level of Russian society in the most miserable conditions imaginable, he ordered her brought into his presence. He smiled sarcastically. Well, are you ready now to renounce your silly faith and come back into the pleasures of the court? To his surprise, the countess smiled sincerely and said, I have no more real joy and more real happiness in one day in prison with Jesus than I have known in a lifetime in the courts of the Tsar. You see, she found her joy in the right place. She found her joy in Jesus. Think about the very moment when you heard and you fully understand the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Do you remember when you were newly saved? First saved, put your hand up. I remember clearly the moment. And I will tell you something. The joy that filled my heart and soul at that moment, knowing full well that this old sinner was forgiven for his sins, and I placed my trust in Jesus, I was filled with the joy of the Spirit. It was humbling, it was overwhelming, it was wonderful. And I often pray, Lord, let me not forget the joy of thy salvation. Do not let me forget that. I pray, Lord, that that joy at that moment never leaves me, and I never forget it. Isaiah 52:7 reminds us of this, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. In Isaiah 61:1, speaking of the Messiah and King and our Lord, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring what? Good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind, heal up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to open up the prisons to those who were bound. You see, when you go back to Luke 2:11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And you think of that verse we just read in Isaiah 61:1. Born to you this day, the angel of the Lord expressed the cause of the joy. This day is born the Redeemer that was promised long ago. He will redeem the unredeemed. He will save the lost sinners. In Bethlehem, where David was born, there is a baby in a manger who is the Savior of the entire world. He is the promised Messiah, and he is the master and author and giver of joy. I will never forget it. We were in Bible school, and I worked construction because I'm a carpenter as well. Jack of all trades, master of none. Anyway, I was working carpentry job and renovating an old farmhouse, and I was doing it. I'd be in class all morning, and then I'd do a bunch of book work, and then I'd disappear for 3-4 hours, work on this house, and come back. And I said to Cindy, I said, do you think that we could save every nickel of this money and go to Florida at Christmas? And she goes, well, I can't see why not. So we did. I worked, and we saved every single dime. Anyway, Christmas break rolls around, and we drove an old Ford car that was troublesome, to say the least. Anyone know what the Ford acronym is? Anyone? Hit me? I shouldn't open that up. Anyway, now I got one for you. Failure of research and development. How do you like that one? Okay, moving on. Okay, sorry. So we stayed 3 weeks in a dive hotel with a pool that had a crazy lady that frequented it often. We checked our ankles for bed bug bites and our food for cockroaches, you know, one of them places. It was a dive hotel. And we bragged it up to our kids, and they thought they were staying in the Ritz. Like, they thought this place was amazing. And, you know, we were there, and we said to our kids, we said, hey, we're going to go off to the dollar store, and you're going to buy your Christmas gifts. This is your Christmas gift here in Florida. So anyway, we were in Orlando area, and so we gave them $10 American. We said, buy $10 worth of gifts. That's your Christmas. And I'm doing the same for Cindy this year. No, I'm kidding. I love you. I'm kidding. Anyway, they bought their $10 of gifts, and then Christmas morning rolls around. We wake up, and they go to this little tree, this little plastic Christmas tree we got, and they go to open their gifts. I go, no, you're not opening your gifts. Then they went to grab something to eat. I said, no, you're not eating either. They're like, what? What are you doing? And I said, we're going out. So Cindy and I, we went out, took the boys. We went to McDonald's. They're like, yeah, you're taking us to McDonald's. I go, no, I'm not. We bought a whole bunch of breakfast. And then we had a whole bunch of Bibles. We had a whole bunch of gospel tracts. And we bought a whole bunch of water. And we went under a bridge. And there were a whole bunch of people sitting under the bridge. We called them out. They came out. We gave them breakfast. We gave them Bibles. We gave them gospel tracts and waters. Went behind malls, found people behind garbage cans. We gave them breakfast and bottles of waters and Bibles and gospel tracts. We did all this. We fed them physically, but I'll tell you something, we fed them spiritually. because I ended up sharing my testimony with them and read the Christmas story to them and was able to tell them truthfully that Jesus loves them. My boys never forgot that. Then we went back and had our sorry little Christmas, but it was wonderful. So take a minute, and while you read through chapter 2 of Luke, you find a very interesting verse about shepherds in Luke 2:20. It says this, "And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, and it had been told to them, glorifying and praising God." Sounds pretty joyous to me. Amen. Good job, whoever did that. Let's encourage our hearts this morning and never forget the source of joy. The Bible reminds us that Jesus is the source of joy. That true joy can only be found in Him. And Psalm 5:11 says this, "But let all who take refuge in you rejoice, rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy, sing for joy, and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exalt in you." And another verse is found in Psalm 32:11. It says this, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy. All you upright in heart, don't stay quiet about your joy in Jesus. Let the world know that you are a follower of Christ." My son and I were talking about this the other day. He said, "Dad, I'm trying to make it more of a point that when I go into a store or a place that I have a smile on my face." And I said, "Why is that, Micah?" He said, "Because I want them to know that I follow Jesus. I want them to know." To finish today, worship team, come on up. We're going to have some elders come up here in a moment as well. Perhaps you don't know Jesus as Lord today. Maybe you haven't experienced the joy that I have talked about here this morning. Maybe. Maybe you're lacking that happiness, that joy found in Christ. Maybe you're lacking in contentment this season. Maybe you're going through some financial difficulties. Or maybe, just maybe, you need a little bit of prayer. Well, our elders are going to be standing up here, a couple of them here this morning. And if you feel led to come forward and have them pray for you, they will be here. Let's pray. Father God, we love you, Lord, and we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for being the author of our joy, Lord. Thank you for saving our souls. Lord, this Christmas, help us to find joy in you. Help us to worship you and have a heart of worship. Lord, help us to push the things out of the way that are stealing our joy. Lord, bless us and be with us and encourage us and give us that great joy this Christmas. We love you, Jesus. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.